Okay, let's start. I'm going to give a short introduction, first of all, about some basic aspects of meditation practice, and then we'll try it out in practice afterwards. It's always about how to overcome obstacles in meditation, how to make sure that we make good progress, we get some of those nice results that the Buddhist path promises us. Often when you hear people talk about the meditation practice, they often complain, "Oh, my meditation isn't getting together because I don't have enough hours to practice meditation, either during the day or during the week or whatever." And the question is that the right reason? Is that really the reason why the meditation doesn't come together, because there isn't enough hours? Of course, one way of finding that out is going on a retreat. And when you go on a retreat, sometimes you find out actually that wasn't the reason, because suddenly now you have as many hours you want as you like, and still it doesn't really happen. Another reason why people often think meditation doesn't come together, because maybe they're using the wrong technique, right? Maybe I should be doing some other object or something in my meditation practice. Maybe I haven't got the right object for meditation. But very often, the object is not so important, because what really matters is one's ability to stay with that object. And the actual object is not so important in the meditation practice. Or people think, "I don't really understand how to practice with this object. I don't really have the right, understanding of the dynamics," or whatever you want to call it, of the meditation practice itself. So these are the sort of things that you often hear people when they talk about meditation, why it works or why it doesn't work. But what is very interesting, as always, is to return to the word of the Buddha. What does the Buddha have to say about this? Why is it that meditation either works or does not work? And there is really only one thing that is consistently said in the suttas, why meditation works or why it doesn't work. And that is, it works when your sila, the Pali word sila, when the sila is in place, that is when meditation comes together. And then the meditation just flows, it's smooth, it's easy, right? When the sila kind of comes into its own right, everything kind of works automatically. There's nothing you really have to do. Nothing about technique anymore, nothing about object. Almost anything seems to work once the sila is there. And the sila, of course, in Pali is often translated as morality, but it means this whole much broader thing than that. It means the whole idea of character development, of who you are as a person, your habits, your personality. This is really what sila is all about. So we need to move that personality, our habits, our character into the right direction, so it's more pure, has more wholesome qualities to it, less of the bad ones. And then meditation comes into its own. It's consistently the only cause for meditation mentioned by the Buddha in the suttas. So for that reason, very, very interesting here. One of the aspects of character development, one of the things I mentioned in my talk here last night, and that is the idea of contentment. And I was saying yesterday that contentment is something that you can see reflected in the monastic code and the monastic way of living. It's very strongly reflected in the way we live as monastics. But of course, it's something that you can develop in lay life as well. It's not only for monastics, obviously. So the question is, how can we move towards greater contentment? Because a contentment is this beautiful kind of mind which is not really riven by too many desires and anger and all of these things that drive the mind back and forth, right? It is kind of, you have that sense of ease and peace there. That's what contentment gets you. So how can we get moved towards contentment in any kind of life, whether as monastics or as lay people? And one of the ways that I like to think about my life as a monastic is that all the external things, all the worldly things in my life, whether it is my, all the things the few things I own and the kuti I have, in other words, all the material possessions, or it's my status, right? I'm a Buddhist monk, whether it's my educational background, whether it's my family, I belong to such and such a family, or whatever it is, or my general identity. I try to look at all of those things just as supporting factors for my spiritual life. Everything external is just a supporting factor for my spiritual life. Just as the breath is a supporting factor for our life, we never think that we live just to breathe. The purpose of our life is not to breathe. The breath, rather, is a support for our life. And just like the breath is a support for our life, all these external things are also just that, a support for our spiritual practice. The spiritual practice is what really matters. Everything else is just there to bolster the spiritual practice, to make sure the spiritual practice reaches its kind of maximum potential. And you can think in the same way about your life as well, if you wish. Right? All your material possessions, they are there to enable the spiritual life. All the position you have, the work you have, even your social position, even your family life, right? It is there, in a sense, to help you and support you in a spiritual life. I don't mean that in a bad way, that we neglect our friends and family. Far from it. In fact, it's really the other way around, because once you take a spiritual interest, you tend to care more for the people who are close to you, right? They become more important because you understand that that feeds back in a positive way into your spiritual life. But what it means, rather, is that when you sit down and you try to meditate, because you know that ultimately even the family is just a support for your personal spiritual development, you can let go even of that in your meditation practice. So this is the idea here. Once you put the spiritual life on top, and you see everything else as a support for the spiritual life, just like the breath is a support for life, all of these things are like the breath. They are there to help you move you forward on the spiritual path. Once you see that, once you understand its secondary importance, it's so much easier to be content with that, not to worry about it. It's not something that you need to develop any further. It is just there as a support. It doesn't have any real meaning in itself. It's never going to get you anywhere. It's not going to give you any real satisfaction or happiness. The real satisfaction and happiness is going to come instead from here, where you focus on the spiritual life instead. Am I turning things around like that? Knowing your priorities, what is really important in life, makes it easier to let go of all the external noise, all the things in the world that may seem important, but actually only have a secondary value. It's all about perception. Using perceptions in the right way can really bolster the spiritual progress. Okay, so let's try to do some meditation together and see where we get. Okay, so I'm just going to give some basic instructions as we move along, especially in the beginning here, just to remind you of the basic ideas of meditation practice, and of course to start off by sitting comfortably. These basic things are so important to make the process proceed smoothly and nicely and comfortably. So make sure you are nice and comfortable, and once the body is kind of sitting nicely, then make sure you have a deeper sense of comfort, both in the body and the mind. You feel at ease, you feel relaxed, you feel positive about the present moment. So you feel that a lot just by feeling the body, making sure the body is at ease. And when the body is at ease, the mind is normally also relaxed and at ease. And so much of the meditation practice is just to learn to relax and to learn to just wait and wait and be patient and allow things to settle down all on their own. Really all you have to do is just stand back and watch the process. Have a positive attitude, a sense of kindness and care, especially towards yourself, but also towards everyone else. Feeling good of being in a good company. And when you have that positive perception towards yourself and the present moment, and you also have patience, then things tend to settle down all by themselves. So just wait. Don't do very much at all. Don't go to the breath too quickly or anything like that. Just enjoy sitting there until things become very peaceful all by themselves.
And just allow the world to fade away. Remind yourself that the world, all the things in the world, they are there to support your spiritual practice, not the other way around. So you can allow those things to fade away and just focus on this beautiful process of meditation, whereby you just feel a sense of peace, feel a sense of joy even, and just feel how wonderful that is compared to the normal experiences of life. That sense of beautiful, joyous peace that you can find in meditation practice. There's something extraordinarily delicious about that. Enjoy that deliciousness. And as you do that, you find that the mind becomes even more peaceful. And gradually, the present moment becomes very pleasant indeed. And as you allow mindfulness to establish itself slowly, gradually, naturally, there may or there may not come a point where it's natural just to watch the breath. The breath sort of comes into view, and just completely naturally you move your attention to the breath because it is there already. Or if the breath does not come into view, just keep on enjoying the peaceful process of allowing mindfulness gradually to improve. Either way is fine. Remember, it's supposed to be a natural and easy process, something enjoyable, something that happens by itself, something that happens when you sit back, when you are a passenger and you're not involved in what goes on. Okay, so we're now coming towards the end of the meditation. And once again, before we stop, just try to review the meditation progress that you have had. Try to understand the process of meditation, why it works or why it doesn't work. What are the cause and conditions behind this? And by doing that, you take more charge of the whole process itself. Okay, are there any questions or comments from anyone here? Everybody very happy? Yeah? Okay, that's great. So, nobody has anything to say. We will have a look at... there's one person here from, I don't know where, Bastian. Question is, if your mind feels like a wild storm of thoughts and you don't feel any progress in calming the mind... is it a matter of patience or practice? What is more important, repetition or the right state of mind? Okay, so if your mind is a wild a storm of thoughts, it's important to understand why all that thinking is there, right? Once we understand the cause and conditions of these things, that is when we have a chance to do something about it. And the reason why your mind does all that thinking, there's two reasons. One is the habits from the past, and one is that you are enjoying the thinking of the mind. And the habits from the past, they can usually be allowed to die down just by being patient, just by relaxing, just by enjoying the present moment. Because if you start to enjoy the present moment, all that conditioning kind of wears itself out, and you're enjoying what you have now instead. So sometimes just patience, allowing things to die down, is often sufficient to actually make this work. A lot of the time, if you enjoy the thinking mind, it's because you don't find enough joy yet in the spiritual path itself. And because you don't find enough joy in the spiritual path, you just need to build up those spiritual faculties, build up the whole path, all the factors of the Noble Eightfold Path, all the morality, the virtue, all of these kind of things. And as you do that, the mind will naturally incline to become more peaceful. Because a mind which is naturally happy, which finds joy in kindness, finds joy in generosity, finds joy in all of these positive things, will not be so inclined to thinking as a mind otherwise would be. So this is really it, both as a mixture of patience in the meditation practice and building up all these other qualities. So you sit down and you feel really nice when you meditate. You feel, wow, this is actually so beautiful and peaceful. And that sense of peace arises out of how you live the rest of your life. Then the whole thing comes together in that way. So it's patience both in the meditation itself, and it's also a general sense of patient practice in everyday life, right? Keeping on doing the right thing again and again and again. So this path is quite all-consuming in a sense. You really have to dedicate yourself quite
severely to this path for the results to really come as a consequence of that. Okay, very good everyone. So let's just pay respect to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha.